Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
Let's begin our study once again by reading from the book of Habakkuk chapter 2. You will remember that last week we took a short break as I aired a special edition of The Way of Success. Before that, we had three sessions on talking on the force of faith. Now, we started by reading from the book of Habakkuk chapter 2. And in that Habakkuk chapter 2, Habakkuk said, I will stand on my guard post and station myself. I will watch to see what he will speak to me. In verse 2, he says, the Lord answered and said, record the vision and inscribe it on tablets, that the one who reads it may run. That is, that what is written might spur a man to action. He said, the vision is yet for the appointed time. It hastens towards the goal and it will not fail. Even though it appears to be slowing down, he says, wait for it will certainly come and it will not delay. Now, this is the issue, verse 4. He said, behold, as for the proud one, his soul is not right within him, but the righteous will live by his faith. If you read the King James, he says, the just shall live by his faith. Now, what he was saying, and we explained that in previous sessions, let me just recapitulate those things we said for a minute. He said that to live by faith does not mean to walk by faith. The walk of faith is what we have been called to as believers. But as a result of our walk in faith, we will discover that where we're supposed to die, we will live. Where we're supposed to fail, we will succeed. Where things were supposed to crumble, we will find them standing erect and growing stronger. Now, when we're experiencing these things, that is what is called the power of life. And the Bible says that the man who is just, who is righteous, we attain that life because of his faith. And that's what we have been studying. That the just shall acquire life by his faith. Alright, so we said that something that was recorded, and any man who reads that which is recorded and takes the necessary actions, God pours a spirit of favor upon the man. And the spirit of favor that he has poured upon him is what gives the person life. Now, we have established these things, and I explained something, that faith is a force. It's not just an attitude of the heart. But when somebody has a heart of faith, he will experience the power that is released as a result of faith. I explained something, that when God wants to do something, the first thing he does is to write it down. And that once that thing is written, it is not automatic that that which is written will become a matter of reality or become manifested. But that two things are important. I said there is the willingness of God and the willingness of man. The two of them must cooperate for that which God wants to do to become real in life. That is, we may prophesy that this is what God wants to do. We hear that, okay, there's Vision 2020, there's Vision 2025. There are things that where our nation, I believe, has seen as the plan of God. Those who are seeing it are not saying it's God's plan. They are just saying that this is the desires of our heart. This is what we would like to achieve. Now, sometimes people will look and say, yes, they said it did not happen. Now, he said that means what they were saying was not right. Now, I want to establish again that that doesn't mean that what was said was not right, or that which was recorded was not accurate, or what a prophet said he saw is not true. The fact is that even though something is recorded, there's no guarantee that it will be manifested, except that there's a cooperation with faith in the heart of those who hear it. If you read from the book of, we referred to it also before, the book of Hebrews chapter 4, he said in verse 2, he said, for indeed we have had good news preached to us, just as they also. But the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard. That is, the manifestation of the word is dependent in our individual lives upon the uniting with the word that we have heard by faith in our hearts. Now, that is very important that we should understand it. Faith, I said, is a matter of force. That is, it releases a spiritual force that draws to manifestation that which God has planned for your life. It is not just let us watch and see. No, we must participate with God by our faith for what God wants to do to become real. It's not just let us see, and if we see, then we will believe. No, that's not the way it is. God will declare something. That's why he said to Habakkuk, write the vision that he might run that reads it. He now said, the man who is proud, his soul is not upright within him. That is, a man who reads and does not run, he's a proud man. But a man who reads and runs as a result, he will derive the benefits of that which is recorded. He said, the just man shall acquire life by his faith. There will be a manifestation of that which was written. I like something that Elizabeth said when Mary came to see her. If you remember, Elizabeth was the mother of John the Baptist. An angel had appeared to Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist. And then the same angel went to another place and appeared to a young woman, a virgin called Mary. And then the day Mary came to visit Elizabeth, what was it that she said? In Luke chapter 1, if you read in verse 45. Now when Mary came to see Elizabeth, and Elizabeth began to greet Mary, what did she say? He said that, and blessed, he was talking about Mary. He said, and blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. You notice something there, that she believed it, and the performance of those things told her by the Lord is tied to her believing. Please get the point I'm trying to make. We must emphasize it, that there is a force in faith which is required by God to bring forth a manifestation into your life and bring forth a manifestation into my life. With God, we don't just wait and see. And then when we have seen, we will believe. No, God declares something to you first. And once you have believed that thing, you will find that there will be a manifestation. If you don't believe that which was recorded, then you will not find the manifestation. Are you getting my point? If you don't believe that which was told to you. Now, I said something last time, that God has a purpose. And our unbelief cannot thwart the purpose of God, generally speaking, but it can thwart the purpose of God as far as our personal lives are concerned. That is, when God said to the children of Israel, I want to take you into the promised land. That is, the plan of God was to take the descendants of Jacob out of Egypt and take them into the promised land. The generation that he called, all right, they did not believe what was told them. They looked at the giants and said, we are not able to take that land. Now, because of what they said concerning the giants, in disagreement with what God had said, they were not able to take the land. But the purpose of God was eventually fulfilled. Their children were the ones that now took the land. Now listen to what I'm saying. That is, God had the purpose, but it was not fulfilled in the lives of those people. And this is the way it works. If God wants to do something, he will tell you what he wants to do. Now, if you agree with it, then it will become manifested in your life. If you don't agree with it, God will have to find somebody else in whose life he will be able to do those things. Now, every time you hear us preach, you hear preachers preach, they say things that God wants to do. There are those who will say, we heard it before, but it did not happen. Let me say to you again, it is not because the words are false, but because the people that it was preached to did not receive that word by faith. Again, let me read that Hebrews chapter 4 for us again. It said, we have had good news preached to us, just as they also. But the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in their hearts. Now, let me explain what I'm saying. If what I'm saying does not meet faith in your heart, you will not experience it. But that doesn't mean that what we have said is wrong. It just means that you did not experience it. That is how the power of God works. In previous times, I've spoken about what I call resonance. What is resonance? When the natural frequency of a particular object matches that of another, then the amplitude of vibration is greatly amplified. That is, when my agreement, all right, when the state of my heart agrees with that of the purpose of God, then great power is made available. And that is what is called grace. Now, these are the things we have been saying, and we need to say again. Now, today I want to continue to develop something I introduced last time, all right? When we read from the book of Hebrews chapter 11. Now, I said that this is a book of the Bible that if you are talking about faith, you must read. We read in verse 1 that it said, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. I said there are two kinds of faith, that there is a faith that accepts the things that I didn't see, that's persuaded about it. Remember that I explained that Jesus died 2,000 years ago. If you believe it, you are a blessed man. Jesus rose up after 3 days, being in the grave. If you believe it, you are a blessed man. That's what Jesus said to Thomas. There's another kind of faith, which is called faith as the assurance of things hoped for. Let me explain the meaning of the word hope again. I have to say this all the time, so that Christians will understand that normal English is different from Bible language. And Bible language, we have to understand what the Bible is saying for us to be able to get the mind of God. Now, it talks about hope. Hope is not about wishing. Let me say it again, when the Bible is talking. In common day English, hope may be a wish. But in the Bible, hope is not about wishing. The word hope in this particular context is a Greek word which means in full in English, a firm expectation. That is, if I expect something, the Bible says I have hope. He's not talking about my desire. He's not talking about my wishes. He's not talking about what I really would love to have. He's talking about what I expect. The reason being that a desire is different from expectation. A desire is what I want. It's what I wish for. Expectation is what I have reason to believe will happen. Do you get my point? That is, faith is the assurance of the firm expectation that I have. Now, I'm trying to bring out something. That this particular faith, unlike the other faith that just believes things that happened and he was not a witness to, in which Jesus looked at Thomas and said, there are those who will come afterwards who will believe without seeing, like you have demanded to see. He said, those people will be blessed. But he said, that's one kind of faith. Now, this faith I'm talking about is the one that draws power out of heaven, that brings to manifestation the thing that God has planned to do. He says, faith is the assurance of an expectation. If you read my book, which I recommend that everybody should get, He That Believes. Now, in that book, He That Believes, I explain this issue. Because in that book, the question I was answering is that what really makes somebody a believer? Is it that I believe that Jesus died on the cross? Now, that is good. That makes you a Christian, yes. But that's not what really makes you a real believer. Because the Bible says that the full measure of faith is that you believe the things that happened when you were not there, but you also believe something that has not yet happened. That's what I'm going to explain. That faith as an assurance of hope is faith that believes in something that has not yet happened. You can believe something that happened 2,000 years ago is different. But remember what I've been saying, that before some new things can happen, God first declares them. And the real believer is a man who has an expectation for that which has not yet happened. Please get my point. That is, God makes a promise. Let's take Abraham as an example. Now, if you read in the book of Genesis chapter 15, you will see the description, all right, of an encounter between God and Abraham. He said that after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision saying, do not fear. I am your shield and your exceedingly great reward. And Abraham asked God a question. What do you give me, seeing that I am dying childless? Seeing that I go childless? Then God answered in verse 4. The Bible says that the word of the Lord came to him saying, this man, talking about Eliezer of Damascus, who Abraham has said earlier, will be his heir because he is childless. God now said, this man will not be your heir, but one who shall come forth from your own body. That is the one that will take your inheritance. And the Bible says, God now took him outside in verse 5 and said to him, look toward the heavens and count the stars, if you are able to count them. And he said, so shall your descendants be. That is your natural descendants. People that will come out of your body. Not just a servant that grew up in your house. Then if you now read verse 6, which is where I'm going, where I read this portion of the Bible. He said, then he believed in the Lord. And he, that is the Lord, reckoned it to him as righteousness. Now there's something I want us to get here. The Bible says that Abraham believed in the Lord and God counted that as righteousness. Please get this point. I'm trying to explain that faith has two levels and that faith is a force, and that the main force of faith is this second level of faith I'm talking about, which in Hebrews we read is faith as the substance or the assurance of things hoped for. I'm explaining that word hope is about something that has not yet happened. That the Christian who goes to church and says, I believe that Jesus died 2,000 years ago, that is not a hope. That is something not seen. That a man who goes to church and says that I believe that he was born of a virgin does not have a hope as a result of just that. But there is something that God has promised to those who believe those things. And if you believe the things that God has promised, then you say you have a hope. That is, even though you have not seen what God has promised, but you know it will happen. And that's what Paul said is the substance or the assurance of things hoped for. That kind of faith begets results. And results are dependent upon that kind of faith. Why did I read this portion? And what do I want to emphasize? I want to use the life of Abraham to explain those two issues. If you see, the Bible says clearly here that Abraham believed in the Lord and he reckoned it to him as righteousness. The question I want to ask is that, what did he believe in the Lord? What did he believe that God said that made God reckon it to him as righteousness, or that God counted as righteousness? Number one, for him to be talking with God, he believed that God existed. Therefore, it was not the fact that he believed in the existence of the Lord that God was rewarding him for. Most certainly not. Now, did he believe that God made the stars and made the heavens? Yes, Abraham believed that. But is that what God is rewarding him for? Again, the answer is no. Did he believe that God can create 10,000 earths if God desires it? Yes, he believed it. But is that what God is rewarding him for? No, most certainly no. But why did God call him righteous? Because there was a particular situation in his life. I explained it properly in that book, He That Believes. There was a particular situation in his life, and God spoke about that situation. And when he believed it, God said, good, this man is a real believer. Therefore, I call him a righteous man. Please get my point. A lot of us like to brag. We like it that I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Why? Because I believe that Jesus died and Jesus rose again. Listen, that gives you a particular level of righteousness. But the Bible says that the righteous are as bold as a lion. It does not give you the boldness to face the challenges of today. I say that very boldly. It doesn't. Because for you to be able to face the challenges of today with boldness, what you need is a particular level of righteousness that is derived out of what you believe specifically about today's issues. I mean, we are in Nigeria, and we know the situation of the country in these our days, and there are challenges every time. People sometimes they speak, have you heard that armed robbers went to this place and they did this and did that and committed so much evil? You say, wow, my God, what is going to happen to us? We can't even sleep in peace again. And the person says he's a believer, then he believes nothing. You look, talk to such a person. He say, what do you believe? He say, I believe that Jesus died. He say, yes, I know that. But what do you believe about your security concerning today? And he said, man, we don't know. We have to look for a country where everything is generally secure. Listen to me. That's what makes you an unbeliever. I hope you are getting my point. A real believer says that God has spoken that there's a mountain surround Jerusalem, so does the Lord surround his people, that the angel of the Lord encamp around me and deliver me. And that, like he said to Elisha, those who are on our side are more than those who are against us. And this statement was made when there were soldiers surrounding the mountain upon which Elisha was residing. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, he believed something specific about his current day situation. I'm explaining that what makes you a believer is that you believe something about your situation today. Now, my emphasis is that it is that your faith that brings results into your situation. Listen, he is not a good Christian who goes to church. Now, listen to me. He does not lie. He does not cheat. He does not take what belongs to another person. He believes that Jesus died 2,000 years ago. He believes that he rose again on the third day. But when you ask him, oh boy, how about your future? What is it like? He said, man, I don't know. You know, this country is so uncertain. Listen to me. That is a half believer. He's not a real believer. The fact that he doesn't lie is besides the point. He does not cheat is besides the point. What is important is that he has no expectation for today and for tomorrow. Therefore, he has no faith as a substance of a hope. The man has no hope. Are you getting what I'm ready to say? That is what makes somebody a real believer, is that you believe something as the outcome of your life, something that you have not yet seen because it has not yet happened. So the Bible calls it a hope. All right? And that hope is what gives you the boldness to face life. For example, I give my personal experience as an example. When I have to take, maybe make decisions, I remember when I was living in Lagos and I was going to come down to Enugu, and people would ask me, that why are you going to Enugu? I said, why not? The answer they will give you is that, look, money is in Lagos. Every good thing that's happening in this life is in Lagos. All the beautiful things that people want, they are in Lagos. And I said, no, the word of the Lord to me is this. Behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you as a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. That is, wherever I go, God sends his blessings towards me. Whether I'm in the east or the west or the north or the south, God is judge. He is the one that will lift me up and not the circumstances around the place where I'm staying. Therefore, I can make my decisions boldly. So what do I believe? I believe absolutely in the everlasting prosperity that God can pour into my life. Are you getting my point? That is what makes you a believer. It is not that I say you go to Christian to church. Now, I'm going to say something. I'll begin it today, and then I'll finish it next time. Because it's important for us to understand what Jesus came to do and the power of Christianity. Christianity is not about being a good usher. I said that one last time. It's not about being very dedicated in church. We go to church to go and learn or to go and imbibe the power of the Spirit of God to transform our environment. That the real Christian is not the man who goes to church regularly. The real Christian is the man who goes out, are you getting my point, and impacts his environment. Now, I said something that what a man should be known for as a Christian is not the fact that he's very regular in church, but as somebody will say, I have noticed that there's something outstanding about the way this man walks. There is something outstanding about the way he faces challenges and overcomes them. Having noticed that one day somebody tells me, oh, he's a Christian, I say, oh, no wonder. Are you getting my point? It is not that the Christian is known because, Sunday you can never find him at home. Wednesday you can never find him at home. He's always in church. Every Friday night he's in church because they are doing all-night prayer. But then you approach the man and say, oh boy, look, have you heard? There was an accident and many people were killed in it. And the man looked and said, hey, my God, we are dead in this country. What kind of nonsense country is this? You tell the man, have you heard? Yeah, that last week crude was selling internationally for $130 a barrel. And you know most of our fuel is imported. The man say, hey, a man will never drive a car again. No. Now listen to me, that man is an unbeliever. No matter how much he goes to church, he's an unbeliever. Because really, he does not believe anything. The Bible says that godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise for the life that now is, and the life that is to come. That is, godliness has a promise. I can't say I'm a Christian that they say, hey, listen, oh, disease is coming. I remember once, many years ago, somebody told me that, hey, run, go and take vaccination. I said, about what? He said, there is this deadly form of meningitis that has come into town. I turned around and said, I'm not taking. The person said, I said, I am not taking. I told my colleagues around, was a senior that told us. I said, I'm not going to take. They asked me why. I said, meningitis should hear my name and run. Not me running because meningitis is coming. I said, I'm a child of God. I am not taking that vaccination. Now, get my point. I'm not saying vaccinations are wrong. All my children are vaccinated. I take vaccines if necessary. The point I'm making is that I said, I'm not going to run up and down because of all meningitis. That meningitis should run when he hears my name. I'm a believer. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? I mean, I learned that one long ago. Ever since the Spirit of God breathed heavily upon that scripture to me, Isaiah chapter 66 verse 12, it said, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. Since then, I realized that I don't have to worry, I don't have to stress myself. Like Chike told us last week when we were listening to that message, he said, Christians are not supposed to be running after money, but they are supposed to be pursuing purpose and getting blessing out of it. Now, that statement is so powerful. And that's what I have come to understand. That what I do is pursue purpose. I remember one day a man saw me. I was proofreading some books that was about to be released. So from the press, they sent the copies for me to proofread. And we saw, I said, finally, Oga, I have found out where your money is coming from. And I looked at the person, I shook my head. Because as a matter of fact, all the books we printed then, until today, I don't get a dime out of them. Are you getting my point? But I'm pursuing purpose. And the man looked, he feels that the only reason why a man will go through this stress, the only reason why a man will stop doing this amount of work is because he's getting money out of it. So when he saw me proofreading and he said, what is this? I said, these are books in press. They're about to come out. He said, finally, I discover where you are getting money from. I looked at him. I had nothing to tell him. It's not my responsibility in life to prove to him I'm pursuing purpose. I'm bringing out the point. I can do that. I am not dissuaded. Listen to me. I pursue purpose. That is my issue. Because I have heard a word from above. It said, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. What did Jesus teach us in Matthew chapter 6? He said, take no thought for tomorrow. He said, look at the birds of the air. Look at the grass of the field. He said, your father clothes the grasses, all right, and he feeds the birds of the air. He said, the grass, they don't spoil, they don't spin. He said, the birds of the air, they don't harvest, they don't gather into barns, yet they have everything. He said, you are more precious than all these things. How much more will your heavenly father take care of you? Are you getting the point I'm going to make from there? Now, what was he saying in effect? He's now said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things shall be added to you. This is the point I'm trying to make. What he was saying is that the reason why we get up in the morning as believers, listen, I'm not talking about those who are people of the world. I'm talking about people who call themselves Christians. The reason why we go out in the morning is not just because for food, but God gives them to us as we pursue purpose. That's why Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things shall be added. What are Christians supposed to do? Pursue purpose. Listen to me. That is why faith is so important. By faith, I know that my bread will never fail. By faith, I know that my water will be sure. I was watching the other day. They were analyzing the price of international price of food. You know, people say that food has become so expensive. Yes, it's a matter of fact, and it's not just in Nigeria. That in the last 1 year, international price of rice has more. In fact, there was a time it doubled in less than 5 weeks. Now, when I see such things on TV, a lot of people panic, say, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? I say, we'll keep believing God. The Bible says very clearly in Psalm 34, from verse 8, it says, how blessed the man who takes refuge in the Lord. It said, oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for to those who fear him, there is no want. It said, the young lions may lack and suffer hunger. It said, but those who seek the Lord shall not be in want or lack any good thing. Now, get what I'm trying to say. That is what I believe. That gives me an expectation. Now, the price of crude internationally, if it loves, let it hit $300 a barrel. The price of rice, if it loves, let it triple. One thing we are sure of is that as children of God, food we always have. As children of God, mobility we always have. As children of God, our bread will never fail. Our water, as the Bible says, will always be sure. Now, this is the issue. Once I understand this, I can pursue purpose. Listen, what Satan tries to do is to scare people about what might come upon them. Listen, and I'm saying that faith is the defense we have, all right, against Satan. The Bible says, taking up the shield of faith, wherewith we can quench all the fiery darts of the devil. Before I go, let me explain what the meaning of that word fiery dart. When we say fiery dart, literally what it means is fire-tipped arrows. Do you understand my point? Arrows that you shoot. That's what they used to do in the Roman times to conquer cities. From a great distance, you put fire at the tip of arrows and shoot them into cities. And the city is on fire. And the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, it said this is the job of a believer. It said take on the whole armor of God. Part of the armor, it said, is the shield of faith, with which we quench the fire-tipped arrows, all right, of the evil one, or the fiery darts of the devil. What are the fire-tipped arrows? What Satan wants to do is to set our hearts on fire. Now, notice that we use the shield of faith to quench it. What does Satan want to do? He wants to set our lives on fire. How does he do it? He uses words. Are you getting my point? Yes, he uses words. If you see James describing the power of words, he said the tongue can set a whole forest on fire. What will Satan do? He sends words into our lives. He wants to scare us. He wants to tell us that, look, oh boy, this is the problem you are going to have. It will not be well with your soul. This is the problem you will face in this life. Things will not go well for you. You don't have money saved up. Your future is not sure. But listen to me. What does faith do? Faith believes that something good is going to happen. Faith says that God has promised that my tomorrow will be sure. Like somebody said, I may not know what the future holds, but I know the person who holds the future, and my life is in that person's hand. So I'm not afraid. What am I doing every day? I'm pursuing purpose. This is my message. That faith actually brings forth goodness into my tomorrow. Do you get my point? Listen, it's what I believe that will eventually happen. That is why I said he is not a true believer who has no expectation for his life. He's not a true believer who is not looking to the hands of God consciously, expecting God to do something great for his life. He's not a true Christian who only has grumbles and complainings and fear about tomorrow. He's a half Christian. A full believer believes something tangible about life today. You've gotten my point.
The Way of Success is a production of Kingdom Word Ministries, a non-denominational teaching ministry based in Enugu, Nigeria. For more information and for free access to Pastor Banky's audio messages, books and other materials, log on to kingdomword-ng.org. Our mailing address is mails@kingdomword-ng.org or PO Box 2273, Enugu, Nigeria.